From WBOI Studios in Fort Wayne, this is the I Am Immigrant, and I am Ahmed Abdelmajid. I am a Palestinian immigrant who has been donning the title of immigrant for the past 24 years of my life. I am interested in conversations around the immigrant experience, a conversation that we seem to be not having or we seem to be not knowing how to have. For this podcast series, I'm hoping that we have conversations with different immigrants about all that it entails to be an immigrant. Hi, everyone. Ahmed Abdelmajid here. I'm the host and creator of The I in Immigrant.
And I'm Katie Anderson, producer of The I in Immigrant. And we have a new episode for you today. Ahmed, today we are chatting with Hamza, who lives in Fort Wayne and is originally from Yemen. And fun fact, he was actually the very first person that you interviewed for this podcast.
I chose Hamza in particular because he's an articulate young man from the community that I know. I felt comfortable with him. So I told him he's my guinea pig for the whole podcast. And Hamza is from Yemen. And as we all know, Yemen has been enthralled in a lot of civil war recently. So I felt that probably discussions about living here and, you know, how what's going on back home and all the thoughts and emotions would probably be a little more heightened with him, and it would give us a good content to discuss. I really liked the conversation. It went in different ways than I thought as well. He's very reasonable and pragmatic, I thought, in his approach to his transitions to the U.S.
And one thing I found interesting with Hamza was how much religion shapes his life.
Yeah, and religion seemed to give him the flexibility to be who he is wherever he is. And I thought that was a good approach or a good tool in his toolbox to acclimate or to assimilate within the American culture.
So with all that in mind, let's listen to your conversation with Hamza.
Hamza, welcome to our program, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, again, I appreciate you taking the time to be on this podcast with us. But I want to start with a little different question. When I called you to invite you to the show, and I explained to you kind of what we're aiming to accomplish with it, you had the choice to say no, but you agreed to come, and here you are. So I'm interested in knowing, why did you agree to be on our show?
Well, I think it's very important that people know more about us, about the immigrants in general, and especially about a Muslim immigrant who is Arabic. I would take any opportunity to let people know more about me, especially in this time when people have a wrong idea about immigrants and about Muslims specifically. And, you know, so it's a good chance for me to at least make people aware of or have certain understanding about, you know, who am I, and be aware of my identity and my personality as an immigrant.
Great. So I want to start with the question that, you know, I as an immigrant get asked a lot, which is, where are you from? So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and a little bit about your transition to the United States? When did that happen? And
usually when people ask me where are you from, I say from Detroit, and then they're like, originally.
Yeah, from, you know? From.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from Yemen. I came here in 2003.
How old were you when you were?
I was about 16 years old, or 15 going to 16 at that time. And I did not choose to be here because I was very young at that time. And basically, I really wanted to be in America. But it was my parents' decision, and my father was here way before me, and also my grandpa was here. And so basically they were here, they did not bring the family, they used to come here and work and go back, even though they have citizenship and all of that, but they did not bring the family. It was like kind of more comfortable for them to keep the family back home, because their aim was to come and work and then make sure that they can, you know, take care of the family back home. Mm-hmm. But then later on, my dad found out or understood that it's best for his children to be in the United States, where they can have better future and basically better life than the life they had in, you know, in Yemen.
So you were an American citizen living in Yemen?
Yes. Not at that time, but like my dad did not want to until I was at that age, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know.
So I got my citizenship as soon as I arrived in the United States, basically.
Because your father was already a citizen. Yeah. Okay. You said you came here in 2003. That was about a couple of years after September 11.
Yes.
Right? And still your father felt that the United States would give you a better opportunity at life than being in Yemen. Was it economically driven, or, I mean, I'm interested in why your father made that decision. Was it that he wanted his family closer to him, or that he felt that your future would be better secure by you being in the United States?
I believe it's many different reasons. It's not only economically, but also, you know, anything related to our future, because my dad wanted us to have a better life than what he had. And so he believed that we will not have a good education if we stayed in Yemen. We will not have a better future if we stayed in Yemen. So he wanted to bring us here for a better future. I believe my dad believed in the United States more than before, after what happened, you know, in 2001.
Okay.
So,
And
that's when he started actually the process, right after it happened. So it took like 1 year and a half. So he came back to Yemen. He started the process there in the embassy, I believe. And so it was right after 9/11. So I believe that my dad actually, he was angry at what happened, you know, and even though there were, I'm sure, incident that happened, and my dad like kept explaining to us when we arrived that, you know, be careful what do you say, because sometimes you will be misunderstood and all of that. But I think that my dad believed in the United States more after what happened in 9/11.
Do you think that that's because of what he experienced from people living in the United States and how they reacted to September 11, or?
I think he was more angry at people who have done it.
Okay.
So because he always loved the United States, and so I think he wanted us to be part of this country, and whatever happened, this is my understanding of what he was, you know, telling us, is that whatever people do, it's because this happened, you know. So he was basically understanding that if people are angry, there is a reason that, you know, why they are angry, and our job is to make them understand the truth, you know.
The truth about what?
About us.
And who's, you know, us? How do you define us?
As Muslims, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he was saying that, you know, when he talked to us, you know, my dad is not, he did not have, you know, education in his childhood, but I think he has wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So he would tell us that people should, you know, that we should basically make sure that people understand us. And we are able. I was actually with him on the phone before I come here, and I was telling him that I will have an interview here.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying, what is it for? So I told him it's about, you know, us as immigrants. And he was actually happy that, you know, and he said, I hope that you can explain your ideas good. I told you to learn English. So I told him, well, I think people can understand me. So I think he wants people to understand who we are, the way we are, not, you know, like the way people perceive us.
So I want to delve into the how you refer to we and us. Because obviously there are multiple layers to who you are. Yes. You're Yemeni, you're
Arab, Muslim.
You're Arab and Muslim. So how do you identify yourself?
American Muslim.
Okay. And what about the other aspects of your background, your personality? Do you shy away from sharing them, or are they not as important to you? I'm interested in knowing, as we present ourselves to the world or to the majority, what it's not a face that we choose to put on, but it's part of our identity. But why do you choose one over the other, or in what situation, or how?
Well, I believe I'm part of this culture, of American culture, yeah. More than I believe that I'm part of the Yemeni culture. The last time I was in Yemen, I felt as a stranger, because I came here and I was only 15. And so when I went back to Yemen, I was already, you know, an adult. Uh-huh. You know, I was 21 and I was dealing with people as an adult, and I felt that we're not in the same page, you know, with people there. Even though it was only like a few years, but, you know, they had a great impact on my personality. I think saying American Muslim, I think that if I say Yemeni American, it will not be as correct as when I say American Muslim, because I am holding on to my faith more than my culture. As a Yemeni.
I see.
And I think my identity as an American Muslim is more valid. So we can be American Muslims, but I don't think we can survive as Yemeni Americans.
I see. Yeah.
So I'm sure my daughter will hold on to her faith more than she holds on to her Yemeni culture, you know. And so I think it's better if I understand that about myself and my coming generation.
So if I understand what you're saying, you came to terms with what is that holding on to a culture that you might have grown up in, or to it as a defining factor for you, is not sustainable in the long run, but rather your faith is, and your faith can be harmoniously associated with being an American,
right.
And that to you is more important, and for the future and for your children. And we'll get back to your children, and I want to talk about your role as a father and growing up here, but I want to go back to that concept of you define yourself more as an American Muslim than an American Yemeni Muslim. And as a Palestinian American Muslim, I kind of find I chose a similar way of identifying myself, but I found it, at least in my experience, sometimes alienating from Palestinian or Arab culture. So I'm interested in your experience with, in particular, Yemeni expatriates here in the United States. When you define yourself that way, do you find that you're alone in that stance? Are you alienating yourself from the rest of the culture? Or how are you keeping your ties or your relationship to a lot of the foundational things that you grew up with?
Well, you know, my relationships are still my relationships with my people and with my like family members, with my relatives, and with the people in Yemen who are like my childhood friends and all of that. Nowadays, it's easier, you know, through social media and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I am still Yemeni, you know, and I know that. But I think there's small difference, or I don't know if it's a big difference between me and you, mm-hmm. is that your story is totally different than mine, because you did not choose to leave your country.
Fair point.
Which is me, I have chosen to leave my country, seeking for a better life and better future. And I could have stayed in my country, even though it's not as stable. But like I said, I think I'm not really putting away my own culture, mm-hmm. or my identity, but I think I'm actually, you know, I will have a better chance to survive than if I just want the American culture will not, the Yemeni culture will not fit as good as the Muslim faith for me to live here. I'll be in a worst situation, I think, or worst battle, you know,
internal
battle. If I want to hold on to that culture, because it will actually restrain me more.
So you think that if you're trying to hold on to exactly how the Yemeni culture is, you won't.
Because the Yemeni culture, it's talking about certain place in this world. It's uh-huh. it's all about that place and that kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but as a Muslim, I can fit here as in America, and I will be able to practice my faith and at the same time be part of this culture here.
I see. Okay. Going back to your transitioning years. You were 15, 16. You came here on the behest of your father. And again, you came into a United States that's within 2 years of September 11. You said your father had mentioned or had advised you guys on how to react or how to handle potential misunderstandings or misconceptions. Now you are an imam of a mosque. You're the religious leader of a local mosque in town. So the transformation that happened over those years, why are you in the role that you're in? I mean, sometimes you're 15, 16, you just want to get along. You want to make, you know, friends. And you might just deny your entire heritage or faith to fit in. So I guess my question is twofold. One, how did you interact with the pressure of fitting in as an outsider, especially? And two, why do you think that you are in the role that you're in today as an imam of a local mosque?
To answer the first part of the question is the transition part. It was two transitions that I was going through. First one is coming from Yemen to the United States. And it's like you're talking about 100% two different cultures that basically you're coming from a world to another, you know.
Another world.
So that's one thing. The other thing, and I'm talking about like culture-wise, language-wise, lifestyle, everything. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is transitioning from being a child or, you know, a mm-hmm. teenager to becoming an adult. So that was also another challenge. And then being in a family, you know, my father lived here for a while, but he didn't live with his family. So it was also one of the challenges that he wasn't.
So your relationship with your father.
Yeah, my relationship with him and living as a family in the United States. He lived as a one person, in mm-hmm. a single person. But when we came, it was also a challenge for him because he's trying to understand how he can manage the family and the family life here in the United States. So it was very difficult for me, to be honest. It was challenging years until I reached like at least 20.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had very difficult time in high school. I spent almost 2 years in high school until I graduated.
What kind of a difficult time? Can you give us an example? Was it?
Well, I arrived in Michigan, mm-hmm. which was something also, one of the things that I wasn't expected is when I left the house, when we entered, you know, to our apartment, and then my dad took us out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, we were in the streets and I'm looking and I'm seeing signs, you know, for the stores in Arabic. And I'm like,
Detroit or Dearborn has a very big Arab Muslim population. Yeah.
Right. So I was expecting I'm going to America and I'm in this, small Arabic town.
Yeah.
So and then when we went to the mosque, I met a lot of people who know me, you know, from back home.
Okay.
And so I was like, this is not America that I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, something like the movies, you know.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood and, California. You know, New York or something.
Yeah.
You know? So that was like, I don't know what to call it, but it was surprising for me. When I went to high school, they took us to the bilingual program, which they had Arabic teachers. So they spoke to us in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And the students, all of them are Arabic also. So they spoke in Arabic. So I did not really learn much English. So whenever I go outside that circle and I try to communicate with people, I'm not able to communicate with them. And I stayed 3 years, you know, after I graduated. I went to college, and that's when I realized I don't really speak English. I don't know anything about it. So then I moved to California. The reason why I moved is because of all of the stress that I was going through. I could not bear it. In the family, they were expecting me, you know, to continue college and have a degree and all of that. But I wasn't prepared for it because every time I went to college, I don't want to really talk to people. I don't want to, you know, I used to feel very shy to speak because I don't want to make any mistakes. And so I went to California, and there I worked in a store, and I got the chance to meet people, you know, American people who speak English and who, you know, who live the American lifestyle. The reason why I'm who I am right now is, first of all, I have grown up in a very religious environment. Yeah. So my family, the people around me are, you know, people who were holding on to their faith and practicing Muslims. And whenever I communicated with people here, the first thing that will come up is that I am a Muslim. So that made me, you know, try to explain to people what Islam is all about. And
were you faced with that question a lot? Were people curious about your faith?
Yes. When I was in California at that time, I lived more than 3 years in California. Okay. And whenever I met people who, even, you know, coworkers, the first thing that will come up is, I am a Muslim. So I was always trying to explain who I am and what Islam is all about. And a lot of people had, you know, a lot of misconceptions about Muslims and Islam. So they would mention, you know, crazy things, you know, like jihad and polygamy and many different things. And so I had to explain a lot of things about Islam and about us as Muslims. And basically, I think my relationship with my faith got even stronger. So I realized that I have a responsibility towards my faith and the people who believe what I believe. And so I basically started learning more, and then I, you know, joined the university, the Islamic university that I studied at, and decided that I want to learn more. I did not really want to be an imam, but later on, that's what it led to.
Okay, so you mentioned that living in California, and I think a lot of times when we think about California or the West Coast, we think it's, you know, people there are worldly, they're a lot more open to the rest of the world, and you know Northeast Indiana gets it's a bad rap about, you know, oh, you're living in Northeast Indiana, why are you living in Fort Wayne, Indiana? So can you compare your experiences, especially when it comes to your expression of your faith? You said in California there was a lot of misconceptions and a lot of questions about that. Do you find the same way here? And are you able to have these conversations here in Northeast Indiana?
Well, that's the question I always get from people when I tell them I lived in California. Why did you come here then?
Yeah.
So, you know, the weather and also the people out there are conceived them as more open-minded. Uh-huh. Well, I think it's maybe sometimes the questions that are driven differently, you know, what is the reason that person is asking the question? Some people, they ask you because they want to know. Some people, they ask you because they have this really a bad idea about you, and they have emotions behind it, you know. So and it's everywhere, it's not in a certain place, whether it was here in Indiana or in California or anywhere in the world. But I really think that I was more comfortable to talk when I was in California and say whatever I want without thinking that there will be a reaction to what I say. Here I'm more careful, I think. whether here or in Michigan. Actually, in Michigan, I was even more careful when I went back from California to Michigan, dealing with people in Michigan. I think people here are very welcoming people and very nice and very decent people in Indiana. And dealing with them from all kind of groups and faiths, I think that people here are very well-mannered people, you know, and respectful. Of course, you will have certain, you know, incidents here and there, but I am able to explain myself whenever I'm asked a question. And most of the time, when people listen, they change their ideas. You know, I have had so many instances when people, I can tell that they're asking the question because there is sort of, if I can call it, hate behind it. You know, I can feel it, I can feel the heat of that. But then as soon as I answer the questions, they realize that, oh, well, is that true? And then sometimes they don't even believe you until they go back and they search it. And then they come back and they say, oh, well, what you said is true. I have a very close friend right now who's a farmer. I think he's more than 70 years old. And he told me, you're the first Muslim I have ever met. He said, and you're the best Muslim. And then he waited a second and he said, and maybe the worst Muslim, I don't know. So later on, he, like, we kept communicating, and he have read the whole Quran, and, you know, he has not finished it, but he's willing to finish the whole Quran. He's at the end right now. And he said, what I find in Islam is something that I never thought it will be in Islam. So, you know, I'm happy that he knows better right now. At least, you know, this will bring more harmony to our community and to our world.
Wow, that's interesting. So you find yourself in a lot of instances talking about your faith. That seems to be, you know, the question that you get asked the most. Do you ever get tired of being asked about it, or do you ever get tired of talking or explaining what your faith is?
Not really. I think it's a good thing. To be asked about my faith is not a bad thing. And sometimes people are not comfortable when other people think of them as different. You know, he's not, the question, where are you from? I sometimes don't feel good about it. But when I'm asked about my faith, I think people have, you know, have the right to ask about it, especially that they're not familiar with it most of the time. And the other thing is, you know, since that person is asking a question, that means they want to know the truth. They want to know about it. And that's better than having your own idea, your own wrong idea, and just live with it without trying to reach out to that person and understand from them.
So you welcome people asking you questions about your faith in particular, but also about your background and your experiences. What advice?
I welcome the questions about faith more than others.
More than more than other things. Okay, well, we'll still ask you a couple questions about those. Don't worry. What advice would you give? The big point behind having this podcast is that we have these conversations that, you know, I feel are lacking in our community of, you know, asking each other about, you know, what path of life led them to where they are right now. So what advice would you give to someone who might be, you know, I guess in our HR terms, be trying to be politically correct? They, you know, they don't want to offend you by asking about your faith or about, you know, your background or what have you. What advice do you give them to make them feel comfortable that to ask that question of you?
Well, as long as the person is being respectful and aware of, you know, the words they're choosing, not to offend the other person. And that goes for anything, not only by about the faith, because sometimes I would have a conversation with someone and I want to know something about that person. I don't think it's a wrong thing to ask, you know, as long as you're being respectful and you're not really putting assumptions before that question, you know. So I think as long as there is that kind of respect and appreciation for each other, then
you welcome this kind of conversation. Yeah. So you mentioned that your father was here and he brought you and the family here at a young age. Now you're a father yourself with two beautiful children. What goes through your mind as you look at them growing up here and their future? Do you worry about them not being Yemeni enough or not being Muslim enough? Or what kind of worries, concerns do you have, if any? And also in the same vein, what excites you about having your kids grow up here?
I think any diversity, any kind of diversity brings more beauty to anything, you know. I think them having this, you know, mixture of being Yemeni, Muslim, American is a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't worry much about them being as Yemeni as I am, but I really worry that at least they can have the language, they can communicate with their other Yemeni Muslim Americans, and also to have this appreciation of their heritage. This is something that I think will grow up with them if they really understand the value of that. When it comes to faith, it's very important to me, and I think that if the person understands, then they will value what they have. Mm-hmm. So I try to make them understand their faith, not only to force it on them or to make them practice it with, you know,
just do what I do
and, mm-hmm. and follow me. And, you know, one time I was asked about my child growing up, and it was a question from a non-Muslim, you know, and I told that person that I am sure that my daughter will have a different understanding of many things about Islam than what I have. Mm. It's just the same way that I have right now from what my father had, because maybe I studied in different environment, I studied in different places, so my father did not have the same ideas about Islam, you know, even though the core beliefs are the same, but, you know, there are different aspects to it.
Different understanding. That you feel your experiences led you to that better understanding.
Yeah.
Or different understanding.
Yeah. And the same thing with my children. Mm-hmm. Them growing up here in the United States, you're a Muslim, you understand that mm-hmm. whatever culture you are in, that impacts some of your understanding about some, you know, aspects of Islam. Like, for example, being around non-Muslims, how you should treat them. This is something that people who grow up in a predominantly
Muslim culture, didn't have an opportunity to explore that or understand that.
Yes, and so I have never met a Christian person before I come to the United States.
Okay.
except, you know, the people in the embassy.
As you're getting your visa.
Yes. So, you know, it's different. My children will have, I'm sure that they will have a different way of studying Islam and understanding Islam. So I'm making sure that I put that, you know, all options on front of them. And I'm sure that, you know, God will guide them to the best.
So the current situation in Yemen and the heartbreaking, gut-wrenching news that we hear coming out from there, I want to know, how does that impact you? And how do you deal with it from a mental fortitude, I guess, perspective?
Well, I think any human being will feel bad about what's going on in Yemen, especially that nobody understands why it's happening, mm-hmm. other than it's, I don't know if it's like greed that led to it from, you know, different countries. But me as a Yemeni, you know, I haven't been to Yemen for 10 years now. And the main reason is the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
I miss being there. I miss meeting, you know, the people that I knew, some relatives and some, you know, childhood friends and all of that. But, you know, I also feel that me being here is a blessing because I at least can do some sort of help for my people there in the United States, even though...
How so?
The Yemeni community here is working hard in providing financial help for people there. Mm-hmm. They do everything in their hands to make sure that they feed as much people as possible in the places where people can't find food. And people here also, the Yemeni people, are trying to, you know, reach out to the government officials and representatives to make them aware that the Yemeni community wants some help from the government here for the Yemeni people back home, you know, in any way. Mm-hmm. I don't understand much about how politics work, you know, but I think that I can do more as a person living in the United States than if I was there.
In raising awareness about the situation.
And also, this is what I do, basically. I sometimes get invited to fundraisers, and I go there and I speak to people and let them know about what's going on in Yemen. And I try to raise as much funds, for example, for, you know,
humanitarian relief.
Humanitarian relief organizations so that they can... Like I said, it's a blessing that I'm in the United States. I can do much more than if I was there. And I might be one of the victims if I was there.
Yeah. You know? So do you have, in a way, survivor? Do you have any what's referred to as survivor's guilt? Do you feel guilty that
I sometimes feel selfish.
Selfish, you know? Okay.
Like when I say, oh, thank God I'm not there, you know, mm-hmm. I feel that kind of... You know, that kind of guilt that people I know are struggling, mm-hmm. and I am happy with my family here, and why not them? Why they're not living the same life I'm living, you know? And then if I don't do much, I feel that I am supposed to do way more than what I'm doing to try to help.
When you knew that you were going to come to the United States and live here, was it... excitement? Was it anxiety? What were you thinking about this transition? What was the biggest misconception, I think, I'd like to ask, that you've had about the United States, that living here, you realized that, oh, wow, that was completely false?
Well, like I said, I was transitioning from being a child to becoming an adult. Mm-hmm. So in Yemen, being 15 years old, you start to feel as a man, you know. So I was, enjoying my time there. Uh-huh. You understand? At the time when I was supposed to go to the, you know, when we were closer to the appointment time to get the visas, the embassy, I was in the capital, you know, living at one of my relatives' house. And I called my mom and I told her I'm going for a trip with some friends to a different city. Uh-huh. And she was like, we're getting the visa in 2 days. You know, we're coming to the capital. I was like, you can get it. And I was...
You so take, I wasn't, care of it, mom. Yeah, take care of it.
I wasn't really, you know, too excited about coming to the United States. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, you know, I didn't say I don't want to go there. But when I was coming, I was thinking about too many different things because at that time, there was a war going on in Iraq and all of the mm-hmm. Yemeni people were talking about it, what's going on there, and mm-hmm. That the American people are killing innocents.
Yeah.
And so I was, okay, this is what America is doing in a Muslim Arab land, and I am heading there. This was in the back of my mind.
I can understand that.
Yes. Yeah. It was actually in the same 2 weeks when Baghdad, you know, when the American army entered Baghdad. Mm. So I wasn't, like, I was in between these two things, you know, two ideas. This is your background and this is where you are coming from and you are heading towards the other direction. You know, some people were like, you know, the people who know me, what are you going, you know, why are you going there? And mm-hmm. I was like, just like anyone else. So, and then when I came here, the first thing that I noticed is how good the American people are. How nice, how respectful, you know. I remember when we arrived to the airport that we could not find one of the luggage.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom started talking to this soldier. He was wearing, you know, the
fatigues.
Yeah. And she went to him and she was speaking to him in Arabic. And the guy was like smiling. And I'm looking at him. He's trying to help us, you know, even though it's not his job. You know, I didn't think he was working. He was just traveling or something.
Okay. So, but she assumed because he's wearing military uniform.
He's working in the airport because that's what we see back.
Okay,
home.
Yeah, makes sense.
So she went to him and she was like, "We lost one of the luggage," and I'm like, "Mom, he doesn't speak Arabic." You know? So I was trying to talk to people with my broken English, and they're trying to help, they're trying to understand, and they're smiling, they're nice. And this is one of the first thing, you know, that I noticed, you know, how nice and respectful people are. And I realized that these are two different things about America. When dealing with the regular people, the regular citizens of America, you're dealing with very nice people. It's different from when we see some kind of political agendas, by certain, parties for, certain interests. I believe that it's not the American people that are, that want these interests.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of political figures who really want these interests. So this is the understanding that I got when I came here, that what America looks like from outside, it's totally different from the America that we see from inside.
Has your impression changed over the 16 or 17 years that you've lived in the U.S.? The first impression was that the general public, people on the streets are really nice and respectful. Over the 16, 17 years that you've lived here, and some could argue the political climate or rhetoric that we hear about immigrants, about Muslims in particular, from government agencies or, the ban in certain countries, Yemen one is one of them as well. Has that changed your mind about
the American people?
America or the American people?
Not really. To some extent, I understood more.
Okay.
So I still understand that it's politics that really is ruining the image of America, and also these politicians and their own interests with their own interests are really leading to these kind of misunderstandings between the West and the East, or you can say between people outside America and the American people.
The I Am Immigrant is a production of WBOI Studios in Fort Wayne and was created by Ahmed Abdelmajid. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and keep these conversations going. You can find us on Facebook or visit theiamimmigrant.com to see additional content and pictures of this season's guests. Today's interview was produced by me, Katie Anderson, and edited by Monica Blankenship. Thanks for listening. From WBOI, Fort Wayne.